Well, we're still continuing on in our 20th session on the Holy Scriptures, and learning a good many things, which I hope are very profitable to you all. It's good to hold the Scriptures in high esteem, not to take them for granted. There are many people in many parts of the world who do not have a book that they can hold in their hands or an app they can put on their phone to even look at a Bible. And so we need to be mindful of that and to not only treasure up all the truth that the Lord gives to us, but that we'd be willing to share it with others around us as the occasion would permit and the door would open for other people in this community to come to know the Lord. How do they do that? It's not just by overt evangelistic efforts, although those are very much to be valued and participated in when we get the chance to do so. But I believe that it's mostly because of our personal witness every day in the place where we are. When you stop to think about it, how many people do you come into contact with every day? Well, maybe not very many, but even if there were only a few. Is there some word that you can speak in season to people around you? Do you pray about it? Do you study the Scriptures with a view to gathering verses together in your heart and mind so that you would have them on the tip of your tongue or truth related to them? That's how I think people are witnessed to in the most mighty way, is through our individual lives and our willingness to share even little portions of truth with them as we go through our day. We've been looking at paragraph 5 and the last part of paragraph 5 of chapter 1 of our 1689 London Baptist Confession. And it says there, yet notwithstanding, that is the perfection of the Scriptures, notwithstanding that the Scriptures are heavenly in their matter and their efficacy of doctrine and the majesty of the style and the consent of the parts, it says, notwithstanding all that, our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. And that's what I was bringing to your attention last Sunday, and we're going to continue on that theme here today. In other words, to give you a proposition, our minds must be opened to the Scriptures by God Himself. Knowing God and walking with God and understanding the Bible are not just an intellectual exercise, dearly beloved. Oh no, it's much more than that. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's walking with Jesus day by day and walking with Him in relation to the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit opening our mind and our heart to comprehend the Scriptures. And we have a good example of this in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. If you would turn over there with me, I want to read this to you and then we'll interact over it for a bit. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Then Jesus said to His apostles and His disciples, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And then look at verse 45. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now the Lord Jesus is speaking to His disciples from the vantage point of His having been raised from the dead and His soon coming ascension to the right hand of the Father. And He speaks to them, reminding them that while He was still with them during the time of His earthly ministry, which led to His going to the cross, that He had told them that He was going to have to go to the cross. And they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it in relation to the Scriptures. In John chapter 20, verse 8, when Peter and John ran to the tomb where Christ had been buried after His crucifixion, because they had been told that Jesus was alive and they wanted to go and see for themselves, they ran to the tomb. John ran a little bit faster for whatever reason. He probably was a bit younger and maybe he didn't weigh quite as much as Peter did. But at any rate, whatever the case was, he got there first and it says the other disciple, Peter, actually came after him. Even though John got there first, Peter ran right up and then, being the bold man that he was, he ran right in to the tomb. Which is really quite a beautiful picture, I think, of what Peter's love for his Lord was really like. It says, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he believed, it says there. For as yet, it says, John says, they did not know the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. So we should understand that even though they had the advantage of Christ's ministry for some years, and even though they had been raised, I'm assuming, even from childhood, they're having the Scriptures read to them, that they still had need for special illumination, that is, the Spirit shining His light into their heart and the influence of His grace working in their heart to remove the darkness of their minds in relation to thinking about Jesus' crucifixion and His resurrection. Now, we're talking about believers here. We're not talking about unbelievers. We're talking about believers. And we need to understand that even though they had all these advantages, and even though they had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, still they didn't understand the most crucial truths related to Jesus' death and rising again from the Scriptures. Now, I think that we need to make application to ourselves in relation to the things that Christ is saying here. Just because you have believed in Christ and it is your real and true intention of following Him in accordance with His Word, that it does not necessarily mean that you understand the Scriptures in all of the depths of their meaning, unless the Holy Spirit illumines your mind to them. Now, I think this is a mistake that many Christian people make, because they do know some things. They may know many things, really, about the Bible. But from the principles that our Lord Jesus taught and the way that He taught, we need to understand that the way that God does His precious work is in relation to your personal relationship to Jesus Christ, not your intellectual knowledge related to the Bible. Very important that you understand this. So, really, you could be the most intellectual person in this room, And still, you have many things to learn in terms of practical experience in relation to the Scriptures, to grow up into Christ. If you are wise, that's how you look at it. If you are not wise, you say, well, I know this, and I know this, and I know this, and I've been this many years a Christian, and I don't need to hear these kinds of things. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You need to hear them. And you need to hear them because this is what the apostles ran into, even though they've been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. They didn't understand. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need His working. We need Him to illumine our minds. We need Him to open. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, began this in His resurrection appearance to the disciples by the Scriptures saying that He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Very, very important that we understand that God deals on this level with us. This is very important. This, by the way, accounts for the drastic differences in understanding between Christians. Maybe even in the same church, holding the same doctrinal schemata and the 1689 confession, and yet not really interacting with God over it, perhaps, or maybe you really are. But you know, I've noticed that sometimes our love grows cold when we don't interact with God personally over sound doctrine. The doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrines of grace, which are so very important to understand how God does His good work. Oh, these are important things. Did not the apostles have the Spirit before the day of Pentecost? Well, they did. Now, they didn't have it in the same way as they had after Pentecost. I can grant that. But they did have the Spirit before the day of Pentecost. They most surely did. John 20, verses 21 and 22. Jesus says, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, they had the Spirit already even then. They were regenerate men, okay? But this was something further. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In other words, this breathing was related to their going, to their fulfilling their ministry, to their being apostles, to their preaching, to their building the church of our Lord Jesus Christ and laying the foundation, laying that foundation on Jesus Christ. Oh, this is so important that you see this. Right at the beginning, they needed this. They needed the Holy Spirit's working. They had the Spirit, they knew the Scriptures in a good general sense, but there were passages, it says, in the Law of Moses and the Prophets and the Psalms, which spoke expressly of Christ having to suffer and to rise the third day. Now, Peter certainly did not understand the Scriptures concerning these all-important truths of the Gospel. In Matthew 26:51, for instance, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas came to betray Him, it says, "And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus," and by the way, this was Peter, "suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." That was a good glancing blow. I think he meant to cleave his head in two. But his spirit was not right within him. Jesus had to reprove him over it. You know, don't. Jesus says to him, Put your sword in its place, he says, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? He says, then how could the scriptures be fulfilled? This is the point that I'm trying to make. How could the scriptures be fulfilled? That this must happen. He's speaking about his having to be crucified for the sins of many. His having to suffer, to be killed and rise again on the third day. We read about those things in Isaiah 50 verse 6, Isaiah 56, 2 to 12. And his resurrection in Psalm 16, 9 and 10, which I won't take the time to read. But in that hour, that is the hour when they were coming to apprehend him in the garden, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out against me as against a robber? I just love the graciousness of the Lord Jesus when he's being apprehended, don't you? When Judas is coming to take him, he says, friend, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus in perfect self-control. Jesus in perfect poise, knowing that he was going to be torn to pieces at the cross. I mean, honestly, it is really a wonder to behold, is it not? The love of our Lord Jesus, his compassion for people, even though they're doing the wrong thing. That's what they were doing. So he says, in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes who had come to take him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done, watch this, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, even this, they're fleeing, was something that the scriptures predicted would take place. Zechariah 13 verse 7, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. The little ones here meaning the disciples of the Lord. Well, how could the apostles preach the scriptures saying that it was necessary that Christ suffer and die and rise from the dead if they didn't understand these scriptures related to these things at all? They had to have the illumination of the Spirit. And beloved brethren, so do you and I. So do you and I. In other words, it's not just handing out the five spiritual laws or the four spiritual laws or the things you should consider or whatever. That might be a good thing in its place. Maybe it wouldn't, depending on how you're using it. But all I'm saying is that what is necessary is that you, the one who's witnessing, be filled with the Spirit. Do you see it? That you be filled with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. You be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to declare what is truth. And honestly, what is it that makes Jesus Christ unique among men? Did Muhammad ever die for the sins of the world? Did Buddha ever rise from the dead after his dying? No. He will someday, but he'll face the one who is the Lord of glory as his judge in that day. Well, now you may remember Matthew chapter 16 and what Peter did know and what he didn't know before the Lord opened his eyes to understand the Scriptures. But turn over with me there to Matthew chapter 16. In verse 15, Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, chapter 16, verse 15 of Matthew, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day. And Peter, look at, now watch Peter here. See, now this is why he needed the illumination of the Spirit. It was because of his natural inclination to boldness and assertion in relation to the things that he thought were perfectly obvious and true. Okay, but he was in the flesh. It says, "Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" So Peter didn't understand that Jesus must die for him. Oh my. The most important thing, but he didn't get it. This was God's purpose. It says in that place in Matthew there, they did not understand that saying. They did not understand that saying. You look that up in a concordance. They did not understand that saying. It's mentioned in Luke 9:45, but they did not understand this saying. And it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. How about that? It was hidden from them, and they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Now, what should we learn from this experience of the apostles not understanding what he would have to do to accomplish their salvation, and is expecting his disciples to learn its true meaning only when he was raised from the dead? That is that we too will have to learn things related to the sound doctrine of the Scriptures. Do you see that, beloved brethren? In other words, sometimes things are hidden from us for a time. And you know what? Why that is? It's because God has purposes in the timing of all things. He has purposes in the timing of what is revealed to a person at a certain particular time that results in someone's salvation, or tremendous events taking place in a society, or the gospel going forward in a community, or your personal witness to Jesus Christ. None of this is accidental. All of the different contacts that you have in the community, all of the different interactions that you have in folks' lives around you, no accident. God has you placed in this body exactly where he wants you, and he has you placed exactly where he wants you in this community at this time, or in the community that you live in presently. And he has a reason for that. And the reason is that you would serve him where you are and be his witness as he illumines your mind to the truth. You know him, but you and I should pray, "Lord, let me know you better so that I can be more effective for you in service. I know that maybe I don't understand things as I ought, but I want to understand better." And the Lord will give you that grace in the way that he only can do. Well, let's pray together. We thank you for this time, Lord. We see our need of the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds, even though many of us have known you for many decades. And yet we still marvel over the way that you show us things from the Scriptures, and you lead us in the truth, and you teach us. for you are the God of our salvation. So we will wait upon you, Lord, and we will walk before you expectantly, even today. O Lord, teach us your holy way and lead us in your truth. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen.